instantly regret my words.
Hey, I was joking.
I actually don't care much anymore. Would I mind seeing Tim bent in two with a severe hemorrhoid attack? Nope. But neither would I go out of my way to stab him.
Which I didn't know before this weekend, and that's freeing.
Liberating, this almost indifference. It makes me much happier than the resentment I harbored for years. And the conversation with Annie, I haven't processed it yet. But maybe this weekend was less of a waste than I thought. Except that I'm low-key panicking about my job again. Whatever you told Tim, thank you.
It was nice to see him almost shit his pants.
He shakes his head.
You shouldn't thank me. It was selfish.
What did he do to you? Did he sneak bacon into your sandwich? Because that's totally his signature move.
No.
He presses his lips together, staring at the road.
He lied to me.
Oh, yeah. I nod knowingly. His other signature move.
The local NPR fills the silence. Something about Rachmaninoff. Until Levi says,
I'm not sure I should be telling you this, but hiding things from you hasn't worked out in our favor. And you asked me to be honest.
I did? I study him, unsure where he's heading.
When you and I first met,
he says slowly, carefully weighing his words,
I had issues talking to people about certain things.
Like aphasia?
He smiles, shaking his head.
Not quite.
I try to think back to fifth year Levi. He seemed larger than life, indomitable, whip smart. Then again, Annie seemed invincible, and I apparently seemed effortless. Grad school really screwed us up, didn't it? I never noticed it. You were capable, self-assured, and got along with most people. I mull it over. Except for me, of course.
I'm not explaining myself well. I had no issues talking to normal people. My issues were with you.
I scowl. Are you saying that I'm not normal? He laughs silently.
You're not normal. Not to me.
What does that mean?
I turn in the seat to face him, not sure why he's insulting me again after 2 days of being incredibly lovely. Is he having a relapse?
Just because you thought I was ugly or unlikable, it doesn't mean that I wasn't normal.
I never thought of you as ugly.
His hands tighten even more around the wheel.
Never.
Come on. The way you always acted was...
the opposite, in fact.
I frown.
What do you even...
Does he mean that...
No.
Impossible. He wouldn't. Would he? Even if we... He can't possibly be implying that. Can he? My mind goes blank for a split second. Complete, utter whiteout void. I'm suddenly frozen numb, so I lean forward to turn off the AC. I have no clue how to answer him, how to stop my heart from beating out of my throat.
Do you mean that you...
He nods.
You didn't even let me finish the sentence.
Whatever you're imagining, from the tamest to the most inappropriate thoughts, that's probably where my mind was at.
He swallows visibly. I watch his throat move.
You're always in my head, and I can never get you out.
I turn to the window, scarlet. There's no universe in which I'm parsing his words correctly. This is a misunderstanding. I'm having some neurological event. And all I want to ask is, what about now? Am I still in your head?
You always stared at me like I was some obscene monstrosity.
I tried not to stare, but it wasn't easy.
No, you... The dress. You hated me in that dress. My blue dress, the one with...
I know what dress be.
You know because you hated it, I say in a panic.
I didn't hate it.
His words are quiet.
It just took me by surprise.
My Target dress took you by surprise?
No, B, my reaction to you wearing it did.
I shake my head. This cannot be true. You wouldn't even sit next to me.
It was hard to think when you were close.
His voice is husky. No, no. You refused to collaborate with me. You told Tim he should marry someone better. You avoided me like the bubonic plague.
Tim warned me off.
I turned to him. What?
He asked me to back off and leave you alone.
I cover my mouth and imagine Tim, very average-sized Tim, confronting Levi, a not-so-gentle bison. How did he?
He told me you knew that I was interested, that I was making you uncomfortable, that you found me unpleasant.
Levi's throat works.
He asked me to avoid you as much as I could. And I did. In a way, it was easier.
Easier? He shrugs with a self-deprecating smile.
Just wanting and not having, it can get unbearable. Quickly, so.
He wets his lips.
I didn't know what to say anyway. You have to understand. People don't talk about the things they feel where I come from. I got really tongue-tied around you, leading you and everyone else to believe that I despised you, apparently. I had no idea. I owe you an apology for that.
I can't believe what he's saying. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe Tim knew and successfully manipulated Levi into staying away while he screwed his way through Pitt's student body. Why are you telling this to me? Why now? He looks at me, serious and earnest like only Levi Ward could ever be. And something surges into me, something painful and delightful and confusing, something breathtaking and spellbinding, rich and frightening. Not a fully formed feeling, but an early draft of it. It's on the back of my throat and on the tip of my tongue. I want to get a grasp of its taste before it's gone. I am reaching out, almost there, when Levi says,
B.I.
My phone rings. I groan in frustration and relief and scramble to pick up. Hello?
B, this is Boris Covington.
Huh?
Are you and Levi back?
I glance at Google Maps. We're about 10 minutes out.
Could you both come to the Discovery Building as soon as you get in?
Sure. I frown, switching to speakerphone. Does this have to do with Blink?
No, well, yes, but only indirectly.
Boris sounds tired and almost embarrassed. Levi and I exchange a long glance.
What's this about?
Boris sighs.
It's about Ms. Jackson and Ms. Corterial. Please, come in as soon as you can.
Levi presses on the gas pedal. I look around Boris's office and blink at least 4 times before asking, what do you mean sexual intercourse is forbidden in work areas? Boris's skin's even redder than usual, and he retreats farther into his desk.
Exactly what I said, it's...
B's not my mother and I'm not a minor, Rocio proclaims from one of the guest chairs. This conversation is a HIPAA violation. Boris pinches the bridge of his nose. He's clearly been at this for a while.
HIPAA rules apply to medical records, not to you being caught having sex in your office, which, just like every other space in the building, is video surveilled 24/7 because of the high security projects it houses. Now, no need to worry about that. Guy is a security admin and has agreed to delete all footage. But B is your direct supervisor, just like Levi is Ms. Jackson's, and because of the disciplinary actions required when NASA employees engage in activities such as intercourse in workspaces, they need to be informed.
I glance at Levi. His face is a blank void. I'm positive that inside he's rolling with laughter like a pork in mud. Positive. Sorry. I scratch the back of my neck. Just to be clear, you two were having intercourse with... with each other, Rocio tells me proudly. I nod. Next to Rocio,
Kaylee appears, enraptured by her own pink nail polish. She hasn't looked up since we came in.
I have no idea what to say. Zero, nada. Maybe Dr. Curie left behind helpful tips to handle similar situations?
If only her notes weren't too radioactive to be touched before the year 3500. Maybe I can go to the Bibliothèque Nationale with a hazmat suit and...
I won't write up a complaint, Boris says. And I trust Bea and Levi will take care of...
He gestures vaguely at two of the smartest women I've ever met, who must be going through a spell of nymphomania.
But I beg you on my knees, don't do anything similar ever again.
Thank you, Boris, I say, hoping I sound as grateful as I feel. The walk to the outside of the building is deadly silent, until we form a circle and stare at one another with varying levels of hostility. Rocio, mortification, Kaylee, and poorly hidden amusement, Levi. I hope I look neutral. I probably don't.
So, that happened, I start.
Rocio nods. Sure did.
How did Boris even find you?
Guy came into our office looking for something. Found us on your desk, ratted us out.
On my? Why did you have to do it on my?
I stop. Take a deep breath. To be clear, I look between them.
This was consensual?
Very. They answer in unison, locking eyes and smiling like idiots. I clear my throat. Is there anything you'd like to add? I ask Levi, meaning please help. But he shakes his head, biting his lip to avoid smiling. He fails.
Okay. Well, it's none of our business what you guys do.
For the first time in my life, I agree with you, Rocio says.
Really? For the first time,
she nods, ungrateful little gremlin.
If you're happy about this, so are we. But please, don't,
have intercourse in front of cameras, unless you're making a sex tape. I rush to add, in which case, just don't do it in public places. Kaylee nods silently, looking a smidge less mortified. Rocio rolls her eyes.
Whatever.
She takes Kaylee's hand and drags her away.
You're not my real mother, Bea,
she yells without turning around. Levi and I watch them walk away in the late afternoon sunlight. When they're just little dots on the street, he tells me.
That was excellent practice for when we'll have teenage daughters.
My heart skips. He doesn't mean together, idiot. They're young. Their frontal lobes are not fully developed yet. He takes the car keys out of his pocket and dangles them in front of my face.
Want to process the trauma of our 23-year-olds role-playing on top of your Marie Curie mouse pad while I take you home?
They better be going to Kaylee's place.
Why?
The walls between my apartment and Rocio's are very thin.
You should invest in noise-canceling headphones.
He tugs me toward the car.
Order online while I drive.
It just seems far-fetched,
I say in the passenger seat. First of all, Rocio's in a relationship. Oh, I wonder if they're poly.
Should we be discussing our RA's love lives?
I'd normally say no, but them bumping uglies on my desk automatically grants us a waiver.
He contemplates it.
Fair.
And those two are so different from each other.
You think that's a problem?
It might not be. They might produce well-rounded children who know how to apply raccoon-style eyeliner and glitter.
Okay, it's not. But Rocio disliked Kaylee. She kept clamming up whenever Kaylee was around. She made an entire list of things she hated about her.
Levi half smiles.
You sure about that?
Yeah, she told me that.
I recall what Levi told me less than 1 hour ago and shut my mouth. I forgot when Boris's call sent me into emergency mode, but now it's all back, swirling around the forefront of my brain. And with that, my heart is heavy in my throat, a liquid warmth in the pit of my stomach, the sense of being on a precipice. I could be falling. I will be falling fast and hard. If only I take one step forward and let myself. A thought hits me. Smack in the head like a freight train. I gasp. I've got it! Levi pulls into my driveway.
What did you say?
I got it!
Got what?
The helmet. Blink. I know how to fix the compatibility issue. Do you have paper? Why don't you have paper in your stupid car?
It's a rental.
My apartment. I have paper up there. The car hasn't fully stopped, but I jump out and run upstairs anyway. I unlock the door, hunt down a pen and notebook, and start scribbling as fast as my fingers will go, pitifully out of breath. A minute later, I hear steps behind me and Levi closing the door I left open. Oops.
I'm assuming you wanted me to follow you in, but if not...
Look! I push the notebook under his nose. We're going to do this. Look at this! He blinks a few times.
Bea, I don't think this is... English.
I turn the notebook around. Shit, I wrote in German. Okay, don't look at this. Just listen to me, and don't be scared. We've been having issues with the switchboard, right? We've been trying to fix it, but what if we just bypass it?
But the different frequencies.
Right, that's where I'm going to scare you.
Scare me.
Yes. I make room on the table and start sketching a diagram. But don't be scared.
I'm not scared.
Good. Stay unscared.
Why would I be scared?
Because of what I'm about to show you, which you might find scary. I tap the back of the pen on the top of my diagram. Okay. We remove the switchboard. I draw a cross on it. We build separate circuits. And then we leverage the magnetothermal properties of each one.
For speed.
Levi's eyes are wide.
And if we have separate circuits.
We can rely on the wireless remote. I grin at him. Will it work? He bites into his lower lip, staring at the diagram.
The wiring will be tricky. And isolating each circuit. But if we work around that.
He turns to me with a wide, breathless grin.
This could work. It could really work.
And it will be so much better than what MagTech is doing.
We'd have a final prototype in weeks, days.
He rubs his mouth.
This is a fantastic idea.
I jump up and down excitedly. It's obnoxious, but I can't stop myself. Where does all this energy go when I try to run? Am I a genius or what? He shakes his head, even as he says,
You are.
Should we go to the lab? Start working on it?
Before the cleaning crew has a chance to disinfect your desk?
Good point. But I need to do something. He smiles fondly.
Maybe you can keep jumping up and down?
I'm starting to get tired, actually.
Okay, then.
He shrugs. And before I know what's going on, I'm in his arms and he's spinning me around. My legs wrapped around his waist and his hands on my thighs. I laugh. I laugh like I'm happy. What a weekend. I'm a feather. I'm invincible. I'm doing science. I'm having fun. I'm building things. Useful, important things. I'm facing demons from my past. I'm being whirled around when I'm too tired to do it myself. I'm bubbling, exhilarated, brave. I'm the most myself and not myself at all. I'm tightening my hands around Levi's neck. And when he slows down, I'm asking him, Are you going to kiss me? No idea where that came from, but I'm not sorry it's out there. His smile doesn't falter, but he shakes his head.
I don't think so,
he says quietly. Strands of purple hair brush against his forehead. His cheeks. We are close. So close. He smells so good. Why?
Because I'm not sure you want me to kiss you.
Oh. I nod. My hair tickles his nose. He scrunches it and I laugh. What if I told you that I do? Would you kiss me then?
I still don't think so,
he says calmly. Seriously. My smile fades. Oh, shit. Shit, I made a mess. You don't want to? My voice is small, insecure. He shakes his head.
That's not it.
It must be. What else? Right. I've been in his arms for a while, but suddenly I feel self-conscious. He's not okay with this. He used to be attracted to me, but not anymore. I'm overstepping. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go too far.
You don't understand, B.
A small smile. Our foreheads touch, his skin warm against mine. I really, really want a kiss from this man. I want it bad enough to burn.
You can't go too far.
Then why? His eyes flutter closed. His lips move closer.
I'm terrified that you won't go far enough.
When Tim kissed her for the first time, after a screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey, which I later found out he slept through, 18-year-old B called her sister to say she'd had the loveliest of kisses. But 18-year-old B was a fool. 18-year-old B had no idea. 18-year-old B overrated that Tim wasn't overly clumsy and brushed his teeth. And 28-year-old B would consider going back in time to slap her upside the head. But she's busy having a real, true, actual, honest-to-God good kiss. The best kiss. It has to do with how slow it starts. With the way Levi and I breathe against each other for a moment. Just breathe and taste the air between us. It should feel ridiculous. But there's something unique about how he looks at my mouth from lowered eyelashes. Wrapped around him like I am, I can feel his pounding heartbeat, the heat of his skin. And suddenly I'm not scared anymore. He wants this. He wants me. I know it in the liquid, messy warmth of my abdomen, in the red spreading over his cheekbones, in his breathing, even faster and louder than mine.
B.
The tension stretches so unbearably tight, we might as well be on different sides of the world. So I close the distance, and then it's not slow anymore. It's hard and fast and open-mouthed, wet and pressing in half bites. It's messy. The least smooth kiss of my life, but maybe it's not a kiss at all. Just two people trying to be as close as possible. His hands are sliding up my ass. My nails are in his scalp. He grunts choppy, surprised praise into my throat.
Yeah, yeah.
Licks the dip of my collarbone and I'm on fire. Half a minute of this and I'm already aflame, pulsating with want and need. I have no brakes. I grind myself helplessly against him, my nipples hard against his chest, his hard abs the perfect slate for my core to rub on.
You are so...
He groans deep, like he's halfway to insane. I'm too busy desperately seeking friction to even try to keep up with my end of the kiss. But it's okay. He's got me. His large palm comes up, wraps around my neck, angles my head sharply just so. His tongue is inside my mouth. Pressing against mine and
dirty.
This is not a kiss. This is dirty. Obscene. He pushes me against the wall and I push back and back and back, like there can be no air between us. His hand under my shirt is possessive, confident, so large that it completely spans my ribcage, and I arch up, swallowing a whimper in the back of my throat. My head is spinning. My body is melting. I can hear bells and not bells, a phone, ringing. It slowly penetrates the thick haze of Levi mouthing my breasts, leaving a wet trail over my t-shirt. God, oh God. Your phone, I whisper, forcing myself to still my hips. It's the loudest my voice will go. Then one of his hands slips inside the back of my panties, and he starts grinding me up and down on his abs, and I forget what I meant to say. It's the exact spot, the exact rhythm I'd been trying to reach. He learned it, and he's helping me keep it up. Fingers digging into the flesh of my ass. A perfect thrust.
He growls, and I whimper at the spear of pleasure. My eyes roll in the back of my head, and yes, right against, yes, there. Levi, I gasp, your phone. Do you maybe want to, pick up? Or we can just continue until the ache disappears. Yes, that would be lovely, and stopping would be unbearable. Is that his cock rubbing against my ass? No, impossible. No one's that big, right? The phone is still ringing. I'm all about ignoring it, but Levi, I realize that Levi is not ignoring it. Levi is making his way under my shorts, sucking on the spot under my ear and not even hearing it. Levi! He doesn't quite snap out of it. He doesn't pull back, doesn't move his mouth from my skin, but he stops. His grip tightens around me, a child reluctant to let go of a favorite toy. Your phone. Do you want to? His eyes are glassy, his hands not fully steady as he lets go of me. Gingerly, with difficulty, I watch him try to collect himself for long seconds before he picks up.
Ward!
He is winded, chest moving up and down. He palms his erection like it hurts, all the while staring at me. Me, only me. Then he looks away and his demeanor abruptly changes.
Say that again?
The speaker on the other end is female. I can't make out the words, but I recognize the voice from before, from the picture in his office.
Yeah, of course,
Levi says reassuringly. His voice is still husky but soft, caring, intimate. He turns around and gives me his back, like I'm not here anymore. They used to date, a nagging voice provides. What you just did with Levi, he used to do it with her, and much more.
I'll be right there.
Reality's catching up fast. I did that. I haven't been this close to another human being in years, and now, with Levi. I liked it too. I forgot myself and probably all decency, but maybe he didn't. He's leaving in the middle of it because of a phone call from a friend whom he used to date. Shit. Shit.
B?
I look up. His eyes are ablaze. His jeans tented. Okay, he is that big.
I need to go.
His throat bobs before and after he says it. He doesn't seem fully in control. Could I convince him to stay if I tried? Probably not. I won't, anyway. Of course.
I would.
It's okay.
I will.
Yeah, you can.
Yes.
I've no clue what he's trying to say, and I seriously doubt he knows what I mean, since I have no idea myself. We're talking over each other. Just like we were all over each other. Ba-dum-ts. One last glance, and he leaves. He's halfway down the stairs when I notice the car keys on the table, on top of the diagram I drew. I grab them and run after him.
Hey, you forgot your keys!
He stops on the landing and holds out his hand, so I go to him and drop them into his palm. I expect him to leave right after, but he surprises me by stepping closer, then closer still. For long moments, he just looks at me, eyes full of beautiful, undecipherable green things. My throat constricts, my stomach twists, and I want to tell him that I'm sorry, that it's okay, that I know he made a mistake, that we never need to talk about this, never again. But before I can say anything, he cups my cheek and leans down to kiss me once more. This time it's sweet, slow, savoring, patient. This time it's lingering and gentle. Everything our other kiss wasn't. I want to try them all the kisses Levi Ward is capable of. I want to sample them like fine wine. I touch my lips, feel his residual warmth, and don't take my eyes off his back as he disappears. 17. Pulvinar. Reaching and Grasping. From
Levi Ward at nasa.gov. 2. Blink Core Engineering at MailServe. B. Koenigswasser at nasa.gov. Re. Blink. Monday.
I'll be taking personal time, and I won't be in it all today. Monday. I uploaded 3 designs for you to work on. B came up with a great solution to the hardware-software incompatibility issues, and I want to finalize its implementation ASAP. Reach me via text if you have questions. LW.
I read the email for the 7th time, and for the 7th time, I marvel that I was given credit for my idea. Goes to show how low the bar is for cis dudes in STEM, doesn't it? Thank you, O penis overlords, for the recognition I deserve. Not that I'm not grateful he introduced the idea, since I'm not sure his underlings would have taken it seriously if it came from me. Remember June 1903, when the Royal Institution invited Dr. Curie to give a lecture and then didn't allow her to lecture because of her inferior lady brain? Pierre ended up speaking for her, even though she was sitting in the audience. Anyway, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sausage referencing is still a thing, and sometimes I get angry at myself for the way I accept it. Sometimes I get angry at myself for other things, like the fact that I should be working instead of checking my phone to see if Levi texted, or the fact that I'm upset he hasn't, or the fact that suddenly I care to be updated about what he's doing every second of every minute of every day. It's not my business anyway. He has stuff to do with his ex. Maybe if Tim hadn't cheated on me for a number of years that cannot be counted on the fingers of one hand, I wouldn't think twice about this. But Levi's lack of an explanation has me wondering whether he's hiding something. Don't get me wrong. I'm aware that our kiss meant nothing to him. So he had a crush on me in grad school. Big deal. It's been 6 years. Lots of things changed dramatically in the past 6 years. The writing on Game of Thrones, the importance of hand sanitizer, my opinions on duck penises. But it was still a kiss. If Levi's in a relationship with someone else, yikes, is he Tim 2.0? No, he's not that verminous. He wouldn't. But aren't all men the same? Is my head exploding? Are you picturing me and Kay doing it? I startle. Rocio is sitting at her desk, black Doc Martens propped next to her keyboard, and a pink lollipop in her mouth. How long have you been here? Like 5 minutes. You were staring into the distance with a weird deer-in-the-headlights expression, so... She stops sucking with a loud pop. So, was it me and Kay, on your desk? I'm pretty sure this is sexual harassment. I don't mind. No, you are harassing me. I sigh and shake my head. She's impossible. I want to adopt her and keep her in my life forever. Is everything okay? She nods, sticking the lollipop back into her mouth. Is that strawberry? Bubblegum. Kay gave it to me. Kay, huh? Yep. I clear my throat. I was thinking about a recent conversation we had, in which you told me you weren't exactly a fan of Kay and... Rocio's boots hit the floor, hard. I love her, she declares. She's perfect. I want her to be my beautiful California bride with pink ribbons in her hair. I want to give her bubble baths that smell like cotton candy. I want to buy her fruity cocktails with little umbrellas in them. She leans forward, pinning me with her gaze. I will wear glitter for her, B. Black glitter. I'm a little out of breath at the intensity. Does Alex know? I broke up with him. Told him he wasn't pink enough. She shrugs. He barely cares. I grin. I'm so happy for you. She sobers up. Don't be. Life is pain and then you die. Ah, yes, I forgot. Anyway, it's more important than ever that I get into Johns Hopkins neuro program, since that's where Kay's going. So we decided to redirect the time and efforts we spent on GRE prep to GRE destruction. Destruction? We're joining hashtag fair graduate admissions. It's a whole movement now. People are fundraising, building awareness, pressuring grad programs to drop the test. We're going to help organize. There's a savage gleam in her eyes. I've spent hundreds of dollars and hours on that test, Bea. Hundreds. I will get my revenge, especially after that stupid Chronicle of Higher Ed article. I have no idea what article she's talking about, but I find it easily. It's an op-ed by Benjamin Green, who a quick Google search informs me is a VP at STC, the company that sells the GRE. Challenging the challengers. What hashtag fair graduate admissions gets wrong. The new trend is to do away with the GRE, which has been widely used by graduate admission committees for decades. At What Would Marie Do? Was the first to use her platform to bring attention to the injustice it perpetuates. And at Schmacademics helped her amplify the signal by posting reviews of the literature debunking it. Together, the two have almost 2 million followers. But who are these influencers? What vast monetary operations are behind them? Do they have financial ties with STC competitors? Moreover, these influencers do not provide useful alternatives to the GRE. They talk of holistic admission protocols, but fully reading thousands of applications is too time-consuming for admission committees. My eyes roll to the back of my skull. Committees need to do right by applicants and should make the time. And who's this dude? This one-man homeowners association. What's a vast monetary operation? I want to break into his house and show him that my salary is probably what he tips his pool boy. And none of it comes from Twitter. But I don't know where Mr. Green lives, so I just DM Schmack the link. Marie, did you see this stupid article? Benjamin Green is officially Camel Dick 2.0. My eyes fall on the messages he sent the last time we talked, when he told me about the girl. My chest clenches, and for some reason I think of Levi, of him being gone, of what his opinion on the GRE might be. Maybe I'm going insane. I don't wait for Schmack's response. I log out of the app and force myself to go back to work.
What?
Listen.
What?
It's...
What?
I...
What?
I sigh. Okay, Rika, let me know when you're done. My sister yells, what, 8 more times. Okay, it's out of my system. Let us resume. So you and the ward ass smooched? Feels like there should be a better word for that. You sucked faces, exchanged germs, swapped saliva, canoodled, snogged. The other day you told me in great detail about that Ukrainian guy you pegged, and I didn't make half the fuss. It's different. Why? Because I'm a seasoned pegger, but you never do this. You're all like, Neuro's my wife now, zip up my chastity belt, dig a moat around the bee fence. And now you're making out with your nemesis who is apparently into you. Was into me. And it's just a kiss. If I say it enough, maybe it'll erase how close I got to being naked with Levi on my kitchen floor, how I've been obsessing over his whereabouts all day long. FYI, I'll return to the States for your wedding, but I recently discovered the Bridezilla subreddit, and I'm not going to dye my hair blonde to fit the ceremony's color scheme. Not happening. Right, you'd probably ask for teal green. Still a resounding no. Rika, it was just a kiss. He doesn't care. And I have no intention of caring ever again. One round of returning wedding gifts was enough. I never got mine back. You never sent one. Anyway, it was just a kiss, purely physical, burning, good, electric, obscene, heavy, dangerous, good, wild, good. The most erotic moment of my life. But my head has cooled off. I'm not a horny black hole of sexual tension anymore, and I can see how dumb it was. A stupid idea. 3 out of 10 would not do again. Plus, I have other concerns. Blink. My job. Who'll feed Felicette once I'm gone? Nothing.
purely nothing. Right. Emotions are still scary. Boundary maintenance is a priority. The B-fence is up in arms. So when you see him at work tomorrow, I'll be too busy building the best damn helmet this world has ever seen and securing myself a lifetime of professional stability away from Trevor. Of course. And I assume the Wardass is perfectly okay pretending that... A knock at my door and I glance at the time. 10:28 p.m. Gotta go. It's probably Rocio coming to reiterate that I'm not her real mother. Or that after you die, the enzymes in your digestive tract devour your body from the inside. Of all your colleagues, this girl is my absolute favorite. She was caught porking on my desk. How does she constantly top herself? I roll my eyes. Bye, Rika. Warmest regards, Beach. It's not Rocio. Instead, there's a large chest where her head should be. And several inches above that, Levi's face.
You forgot this in the rental.
He lifts his left hand, my backpack dangling from his fingers. Oh, thank you. I hug it to the front of my body. I'm wearing a sleeveless top I've owned since middle school and pajama pants that could moonlight as underwear. I really thought it'd be Rocio at the door. I may be blushing all over. Did you, want to come in? He shakes his head.
I just wanted to return the backpack.
I nod. He nods. There's a stretch of silence, more awkward nodding, and then he says,
I'll get going.
Yeah, sure. Have a good night. He's wearing a light blue Henley that does marvelous things for his back, which I have now touched extensively. That's why I stare as he walks away. I'm mesmerized by how broad, firm, solid he looks. And that's why when he reaches the stairs and turns around, he finds me still there, still looking. He smiles, and I smile. The smiles linger, warm, honest, and I hear myself ask, you sure you don't want to come in?
It's not that I...
His throat works.
I didn't come here for that.
I didn't think you did. I make room for him, and with a few tentative, lumbering steps, he's inside, in all his hulking, massive grace. He looks around, running a hand through his hair. Is he thinking about what happened here 24 hours ago? Well, more like 28.5, but which maniac is counting?
Is that a hummingbird feeder?
He asks. Yep.
Any hummingbirds?
Not yet.
Me neither. In my garden, I mean.
I noticed the mint you're growing. We exchange another smile. Want to sit on the balcony? I have fancy German beer. The chairs I comfortably sprawl on look like kids' furniture under Levi. His hand dwarfs the beer bottle. His profile, as he stares pensively at the Houston skyline, is unbearably handsome. He looks almost aggressively out of place. I want to know what he's thinking about. I want to ask if he regrets our kiss. I want to touch him again.
I'm sorry about the other night, and about missing work when we're at a critical point. It was an emergency.
Oh. Was it
something about your non-wife from the photo?
He chuckles.
I can't believe the conversation material that picture's giving us.
Amazing, huh? His smile fades.
Penny's ill. Epilepsy. It's under control, but she's growing up fast, and her meds need to be adjusted often. It's tricky, finding the right dosage.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Weirdly enough, Penny takes it in stride. She's a remarkably resourceful kid.
He takes a swig and makes a face at the beer. What a heathen.
Lily, though, her mom. She struggles, understandably. I try to be around when things get bad.
I stare into the distance. Of course he does. He's that kind of person. I'm glad they have you.
I'm pretty useless. I mostly play Uno with Penny, or buy her slime that has some toxic ingredient.
Borax.
That drives Lily crazy. Yes, borax. How did you know?
I have mom friends. They complain about it. I shrug. Where's her dad?
He died a little over a year ago.
He hesitates before adding,
rock climbing accident.
For a moment, I don't think much of it. Then I remember the picture in his office. Levi and the tall, dark-haired man. Were you related?
No.
His expression darkens.
But I'd known him forever. Since kindergarten. We'd line up in pairs till the end of elementary school. Peter Sullivan and Levi Ward. Not many T-U or V names, apparently.
I set my bottle on the table and study his face. Sullivan. That name again. It's common. That's why it crops up so often. And yet, like the prototype? I murmur. Like the Discovery Institute? I wish he'd look at me, but he keeps staring at the city and says,
I didn't even want to be an engineer. I wanted to major in veterinary science. I'd even declared it. But Peter convinced me to take an engineering class as an elective. We did this project together. We built an olfactory cortex, a piece of hardware that could correctly identify smells. He did most of the work and had to teach me everything. But it was a blast. Thinking that something like that could maybe be used for patients, you know, somewhere down the line.
That's impressive.
It wasn't always correct.
He bites the inside of his cheek.
On our final presentation, while the instructor was examining it, the cortex announced that it was smelling feces.
I burst into laughter.
It maybe needed a few tweaks. But I fell in love with brain-computer interface because of Peter. He was the most brilliant engineer I've ever met.
He presses his lips together.
I saw his skull crack in two when he fell. I was 10 feet away, halfway through my climb. The noise, it was unlike anything. I didn't know how to tell Lily. And Penny wouldn't leave the room.
His voice is so deceptively level, so painfully neutral. I'm shocked when I realize that my cheeks are wet. I want to reach out to Levi. I need to reach out. But I'm locked inside my head, paralyzed, finally making connections and understanding things.
They renamed the institute after him, and he came up with the prototype.
Before dying. That's why Levi needed to be on Blink. Why it needed to happen with him in charge. Why he fought so hard for it. Levi. Oh, Levi.
I'm going to build those helmets.
He's still staring into the distance. His grip on the bottle is a vice.
Like he envisioned them. And they'll have his name. And Penny will know it was her dad and she.
He stops. Like his voice will break if he continues. Suddenly, I'm not scared anymore. I know what to do, or at least what I want to do. I stand, slide the beer out of Levi's hand and set it on the metal railing with a clink. Then I lower myself into his lap, legs on each side of his waist, my arms around his neck. I wait until his hands are around my waist, until his eyes shine up at me in the darkness. Then I say, we're going to build those helmets. Together. I smile fiercely against his lips. Peter will know. Penny will know. Lily will know and you will know. The kiss is a punch-out drug, but a familiar one. After all, I've thought about nothing else for the past day. Pleasure hums through me with every stroke of his tongue against mine, every brush of his fingers against my lower back, every reverent breath against my jaw. He pulls me closer and groans into my skin, half sentences that drive me crazy an inch at a time.
You're so fuck, B.
As I run my teeth down his throat.
I used to dream of you.
When my fingertips brush against the fine hair underneath his belly button.
I'm going to. We have to slow down or I'm going to.
After I start rocking on top of him, and the friction of his erection against my clit is already the best sex I've ever had. I'm shuddering, pulsating, about to explode with pleasure.
My underwear is soaked and I want to get closer, closer. But our clothes stay on. Frustratingly, maddeningly on, even when he brings me to bed. The kitchen light trickling inside the room. Levi's grip on my hip is near bruising, every breath a sharp intake. My body feels warm, buoyant, filled with cutting heat. He looks down at me and says,
I want to fuck you.
He nips at my collarbone. And he likes teeth. To bite, to clutch, to suck. There's something devouring about him. Something clumsy and overeager, but it's not a turnoff. He's usually so patient, meticulous. But now he can't wait. Can't have enough.
Can I fuck you?
I nod up at him. Let him take my top, my pants, everything off. And the way he looks at me like he has found answers all of a sudden. Like my body is a religious experience, has me squirming up for contact.
This,
he says breathlessly, his thumb tracing reverently the piercing on my nipple. If you don't like it, I... He shushes me and it's okay. I'm okay. I'm totally okay with him staring at my small breasts as though they're something wondrous. With him kissing them until his lips are plump. Until I have to pull at his hair until I'm so wet I feel it trickle down my thigh. I'm okay with being told ridiculous things. I'm a good girl, I'm perfect, I've been driving him insane. When he first saw me, I changed the chemistry of his brain. He makes me laugh when I roll us around, push him underneath me, his elbows smacking against the hard wall. He mumbles a few obscenities, but when I bend down to kiss him again, he forgets all about it. You're too big for the bed, I tell him between giggles, peeling his shirt from his skin. He has abs, defined ones, and pecs. He has muscle groups I thought were myths.
Your bed's too small for me. Next time we'll do this in mine,
he says, lifting his hips and letting me undo his zipper. The sound of each catch fills the room, and it shouldn't be so erotic, but I'm naked on top of him. His length rubbing against my core, and there's no mistaking how deliciously, furiously, eagerly big he is.
It's been a while,
he says. I blink at him, breathless, hazy. Yeah, me too. I can't help myself. I touch the damp head of his erection, just a brush of my fingertips. He grunts, bites his lip, his hips jerk. It's a little like riding a horse. A bull.
Do we need a condom?
He asks. I shake my head and mouth. Birth control. Eager to continue.
This might be over very quickly,
he husks, hands gripping my thighs as I position him at my entrance.
But I'll make it up to you. With my mouth, or my fingers, if... B.
I don't know what I expected from having Levi inside of me. Probably the same as with Tim. Something vaguely pleasant. At best, sex made me feel close to him. At worst, I was bored for a few minutes and remembered that taxes were due soon. With Levi, it's nothing like that. I'm in control. I'm easing his cock into my body. I struggle inch by inch to adjust, to accommodate, but it's my decision. I close my eyes and feel my face twist, half pleasure and half pain. I need more. He needs more. We both need more. And I push down to take him farther inside, thighs and hands trembling as I strain to fill myself with him, and I can't do it. There is no room. I try again, grinding down to take more of him. My skin beads with sweat. The sense of fullness grows, turns into a sting of pain, but I push through it, force myself to.
Slow down.
Levi orders, a little more than a growl. His hands clasp my hips to still me. I open my eyes, shake my head. I need to.
You need a minute,
he says firmly, and his voice brooks no argument. We're both shaking, gasping, sweaty against each other, but I pause for a moment, and he nods, choppy, pleased.
Good girl.
He stares at me like he doesn't know where to settle his eyes. Then he finds the place where we're joined and starts touching me there. Slow, wet strokes of his thumb on my clit that soften me and help me take him all the way. His hip bones press into the undersides of my thighs when he bottoms out. I feel my channel clench and grip him, and his groan tells me that he does too. He's in me to the hilt, and I collapse on top of him. "Levi," I stutter into his mouth. "You are really big." Something vibrates between us. Not physical. A feeling. It resonates in my body and in my brain.
"You'll get used to me."
He gasps against my temple, pushing my hair back from my forehead with trembling hands, and then I am so full I cannot be still anymore. I roll my hips to test the waters, see what hurts, very little, and what's good, a whole lot. I learn what I want, which angle, which rhythm. In exchange, I let Levi's hands roam my body wherever he likes, and it's everywhere. There are wet, filthy, shameful sounds, but I don't care. Too busy gripping the headboard and grinding myself against that spot inside me, which, yes, yes, he's immense, stretching me to my limit and a bit past. I balance myself on his chest. His heart beats a drum against my palm, and I move up and down. Delicious pressure. Pleasure pulses deep in my belly. "Like this?" I ask. He doesn't answer. Or he does, but in murmurs. Incoherent little things like, "Please, be still, don't move. You're so tight, I'm going to, oh shit." It gets worse when I clench around him on purpose, just to see where I can go. There's no extra room inside me, nothing at all. And my vision dots, my pulse spikes, my head snaps blank. My lungs void of air, and I come like an avalanche, a wash of blinding pleasure as my body contracts rhythmically. I whimper my orgasm into the skin of his collarbone. When I can think again, I find Levi on top of me, panting against my throat, fingers tight around my hips. He babbles, groans, desperately grinds his cock against my stomach, but he is pulled out. I am painfully empty, clenching against nothing. "Did you?" My voice is hoarse.
"I'm trying to make it last," he pants. "I don't want this to end."
I try to guide him into me once again, but he pins my wrist above my head and kisses me, endless, deep, without restraint, swallowing my soft whimpers in his mouth. Then he slides back inside. In this position, he gets deeper, harder, different angles. He covers me, all of me, and I let him do what he let me do, find his pleasure in my body. His thrusts are shallow, then slow, then deep. Then his control snaps in two long movements that drag delicious friction against all of my nerve endings. I love his weight on me. I love his guttural groans. I love the absent, awestruck green of his eyes. I'm so close again. This is good. He is good. We are good, together, like this.
"Be,"
he slurs against my cheek.
"Be, you are everything I."
My hands slide against his sweat-slick back, and I hold him together as he shatters into a million pieces. 18. Raphe Nuclei. Happiness.
"Amazing."
Guy's voice trembles slightly. A tinge of fear to his admiration. Awe, I guess it's called. All that matters is that it opens the floodgates for everyone else to speak up.
"Incredible! We have a working prototype. Can't believe there was such a simple solution. Blink is basically done. Such an elegant way of..."
"Fucking awesome," Rocio declares, the loudest voice. Everyone looks at her, and that's when the impressed whispers become more like a frat party. High fives, hugs, the occasional chant. I'm surprised a keg isn't suddenly produced out of thin air. Levi leans against a bench on the opposite side of the room, wearing last night's Henley. This morning, I offered him my stretchy tie-dye camisole,
but he just glared at me. Ingrate. He notices I'm staring, and we both look away, bashful to have been caught. Then our eyes lock again. This time, we share a smile.
We should celebrate!
Someone's yelling. We ignore him and keep on smiling. The first time Tim and I had sex, I was terrified he hadn't enjoyed it. He didn't call me for 2 days, which I spent wondering if I was shit in bed, instead of focusing on how shitty he was. In the fight that ended our engagement, he accused me of pushing him to sleep with other women because I was a total starfish during sex. I had to Google what that even meant after he left. On reflection, our relationship was bookended by Tim making me feel terrible about myself. How poetic. Maybe in the past years, I've learned to give considerably fewer fucks about what dudes think of me, and that's why I've spent 0 seconds of the last 24 hours wondering whether Levi thinks I'm a shit lay. But maybe that's not the only reason. Maybe it has to do with the way he looked at me this morning, when I woke up on top of him in my twin bed, that he accused of being an instrument of torture repurposed as a piece of furniture. Maybe it was the quiet, sweetly bashful conversation we had about me being on birth control, and about the fact that we've both been living like ascetic monks for long enough that we're sure to be clean. Maybe it's the appalled face he made when he saw me guzzle unsweetened soy milk directly from the carton. Maybe it's the swift, covert glances he's been giving me all day long. We haven't talked much. Or we've talked a lot. About circuits and high-frequency stimulation trains and Brodmann areas. The usual. Today's not usual, though.
Looks like you got it.
Boris comes to stand beside me. He glances at his engineers, currently giving one another celebratory wedgies, with mild disapproval. We still need to tweak the neuro software. Then we'll test the model on the first astronaut. Guy has volunteered. A euphemism. Guy begged to be test subject number one. It's nice knowing that someone else is so invested in Blink.
When's that?
Next week. He nods.
I'm going to set up a demonstration for the end of next week, then.
A demonstration?
I'll invite my bosses, your bosses. They'll invite someone higher up still.
I stare at him, alarmed. That's way too soon. We have weeks before the project deadline. And there's lots to troubleshoot. Human subjects are involved. Plenty of things could go wrong.
Yes.
He gives me a level look.
But you know what the stakes are, especially with MagTech so close to catching up. And you know the pushback against the project. We've got lots of eyes on us, lots of people who know very little about science and yet are invested in Blink.
I hesitate. 10 days is much fewer than I'm comfortable with. On the other hand, I understand the pressure Boris is under. After all, he's the one who got us approval to start.
Okay, we'll do our best.
I push away from the bench. I'll tell Levi.
Wait.
I stop.
B, what are your plans when this is over?
My plans?
You want to keep working for Trevor?
I press my lips together to temporize, but Boris is no fool.
I've chatted with him a few times. He seems to be under the impression that we're making suits.
Trevor is, I sigh.
Yeah.
He gives me a commiserating look.
If the prototype's a success, NIH will likely promote you, maybe give you your own lab. You'll have options. But if you don't like those options, come see me, please.
I stare at him wide-eyed. What?
I've been wanting to start a dedicated neuroscience team. This,
he points at the helmet,
is one of many things we can do. Our neuro unit is scattered and underutilized. I need someone who can actually lead it.
He smiles tiredly.
Anyway, I'll go tell Levi about the demonstration. I'm partial to the way he scowls when I give him bad news.
I stand there like an idiot, blinking into the distance. Was I just offered a job? At NASA? Leading a lab? Did I hallucinate? Is there a carbon monoxide leak in the building?
You coming out to celebrate?
Guy asks, startling me. I shake my head. Celebration seems premature.
But you guys have fun.
Sure will.
His eyes lift to a spot above my head.
And you?
I turn around. Levi is right behind me.
Another time.
You have plans? I ask once Guy has left. I look around to make sure we're alone, like I'm asking Levi for his secret apple pie recipe. I'm ridiculous.
I was going to spend some quality time with my cat.
Expression night?
Schrodinger and I do sometimes have interactions that don't involve his rectum,
he points out.
But no, there's a restaurant. Vegan.
His eyes wander away, as though he's embarrassed to ask.
I've been wanting to try it. We could.
I laugh. You don't have to. He gives me a curious look.
Do what?
Take me out. On a date. He scowls.
I know I don't have to.
I'm aware this isn't. I start to tell him that I know it's not like that between us, that he doesn't need to take me out, that the sex was excellent, and even though I'm sore and sleepy and possibly all orgasmed out, I'd be happy to have more. With him, if he's interested. I'm familiar with the concept of friends with benefits. Bed buddies, frenifits, fuck friends. But then I remember the weekend. Watching Star Wars together, drinking Sazerac. This friendship of ours is older than the benefits, even if just by a few hours. And I'd be happy to spend time talking with him. Plus, he probably has no one to try vegan restaurants with. I'm the same in Bethesda. Yeah, that's why he's asking me out. Actually, that sounds amazing. Do we need a reservation? He lifts one eyebrow.